to make a phone call in the way that it was. To be honest, I mean, yeah. I'm keeping it real, guys. I'm from the generation that buttons were on my phone. You know what I mean? So it was so easy to make a phone call. Mm-hmm. Now I've got to like Face ID open, go to my phone app to do it, whereas like pressing a button would be just so much easier, right? So that is one of the conversations I do want to have. I'm hoping that I can not only have like a pre-recorded conversation, but maybe it would be great to have like somebody come in and have like people who live up here like yourself also be in it, you know, part of that conversation, because I do feel having access to an immediate response, just like when you're on transit. It'd be like pressing that button for help and then it not working, and then you still having to use your phone to do it, kind of thing. But you did mention some things that I'll also reiterate, that there is the service of SafeWalk. So there is also a number that can be called, which is 778-782-4500. It is always recommended that if the issue is like life-threatening, or you really, you know, to dial 911, of course. But I am really concerned about how the testing of those emergency buttons are take place, right? Like, what is the routine testing? Is it like daily? Is it weekly? Like, how does that work? Because for those who are up here all the time, and even for somebody like myself who's not up here all the time, I would assume that if I press it, it's gonna work. You know what I mean? Like, that is the main thing. The other thing that you did mention that I will also state is that they do have the SFU Safe app. Is that something that you've ever downloaded before?
No, I haven't.
Okay, I'm going to look into it too. I want to see like what it looks like even. It is available on Apple and Android, and they do say that all reported safety incidents are reviewed and responded to. And if there's a situation that revolves police involvement, like they do automatically make those connections and stuff like that. But I do want to like see what that looks like. How easy is it to navigate? Because sometimes apps are implemented, or even websites are implemented, services are implemented, but it's not intuitive to use. So I'm going to, you know, check it out, because like I feel like if you're feeling unsafe, it's I'm hoping that the flow of the app is easy to navigate. Because like I mentioned, if you're feeling, if your nervous system is now disrupted, dialing a number might not necessarily be that easy, right? And you know, instead you know, pushing a button or something of that nature. Now, do you being up here, do you tend to see sort of the team, you know, like can you easily identify a campus security?
Yes, I think recently, like I didn't really notice them before the incident, to be honest, but I think there might have been a few other instances of incidents like mine to warrant how many security I've been seeing. I've been seeing way more just generally this week. There's one that's like stays in one of the dorm buildings now, like 24 hours, and I don't know. I kind of want to flag that.
Yeah, no doubt, no doubt. That's so interesting. And curious about the security around housing. Is it pretty secure? You know what I mean? Like, do you sort of have like a security person that's at the door? Kind of like, you know, those buildings that have like front desk type energy?
No, none of the dorms have like a sort of quote unquote front desk, except for Courtyard Residence, which is the newest. It kind of feels like a security blind spot, to be honest. And now that there's somebody like in one of the dorms, it feels like maybe it's a little bit more secure, but it feels like outside of that dorm, it's still on the blinder side.
Fair. And again, coming from somebody who doesn't roam the streets up here enough to know, how large are these buildings and developments for students? Like, is it like
they're like proper buildings? Like apartment complexes.
For real. So it is like hundreds of people. That's fair. And then so in the building itself, is there access to like a blue button, let's say? in the building, you know what I mean?
I'm not entirely sure because I'm in one of the north towers and okay. I've never noticed one on my floor.
Okay.
There might be one at the bottom, but I don't think so. Okay. I want to err on the side of no.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And then the other question I have, again, because it's coming from, like, I don't know the campus. Mm-hmm. I don't go to school here. But I did go to school for a hot second in Carleton, and Carleton and Ottawa had a lot of tunnels, a lot of underground tunnels, because it's such a cold city, and this and that's how you would navigate to courses and stuff. And then they did have, like, buttons along, because there was a lot of sexual assaults that were happening in those quarters until it became a thing that, oh, wow, we need to police those areas because there's no, you know, it's an end, might I add. It was like, it's like concrete underneath there, right? Like, there's no window, like, it's an underground tunnel, right? Like, so I'm curious, are there, like, those types of, like, dwellings here, or are your catwalks kind of glass and
everything
stuff?
Like, yeah, everything's very exposed.
Okay.
I would say.
Okay.
The only stuff that isn't is, like, those nooks and crannies just, like, around campus, like, on the outskirts. The outskirts are more what I'm concerned about.
Yeah.
I would say.
Yeah.
That and the more, like, residence blind spot.
Right.
I think there's also something I really want to flag about dorm security, where I lived in Courtyard Residence last year, and I really liked their security protocols, where you'd walk in, there was a front desk and everything, and then your key card would buzz you up to your specific floor.
I like that, so that if it, it's like, I love that.
Because I had another situation within that week, like, I want to say 3 weeks ago now, where a group of men tried to follow me into my building.
Scary.
And so I, like, thinking just as quickly as I could, I pressed as many buttons after my floor as I could, so they wouldn't know which floor I was on.
Right.
But if they really felt like it, they could have been on my floor. They could have checked any floor they wanted.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Just because you buzz into the actual building, and then you could press any floor you want.
Yeah, I do. I mean, a lot of condos have been doing it in the sense that you get buzzed in, you're only allowed to press the number that you get buzzed in, and it's only for a certain time frame. Because I've, you know, visited friends where, like, the elevator took too long to come down, let's say, and then you get into the elevator and now you can't touch the button. You know what I mean? Because, and in a way, it's irritating, but at the same time, it's not irritating because it's being like, why are you hanging out in this building for that long,
and
right?
And honestly, any, like, my friend lives in a very high security apartment building in, like, East Van, I want to say.
Right.
And anytime I go to visit her, she just comes down to the lobby, buzzes me in, and we go up together.
Really,
it's not that big of a deal for that extra bit of security.
Absolutely.
Because never before have I felt, like, unsafe in her building, unsafe in the lobby.
Right.
It's just, like, just that extra step goes such a long way.
Super long way. And my other question is there a way, do you guys have, like, a, I know in some buildings they have, like, WhatsApp groups and they have, like, you know, or, like a board in their mail room, let's say, where people can, like, put up information or, like, collectively talk about something, right? Do you guys have access to something like that?
It depends on the floor, because it's more of, like, an RA situation where it's, like, they want to open that conversation. Not on my floor, unfortunately. I did have, like, a nice experience with that last year, Courtyard Residence. We had, like, a concerns board.
Yeah.
We also had, like, a nice, like, fun conversation topics board. So
absolutely.
It wasn't, you know, all darkness.
Yes, yes.
But, yeah, no, not on mine.
No, that's unfortunate. Okay, well, I mean, I'm hoping that that can shift and change, because I think that that helps, right? And, you know, the more voices of people saying that they've had a situation allows for it to be addressed. Because what happens is, like, when nobody knows something's going on, then people don't feel like there needs to be anything done, type of thing. But kind of to wind down our conversation, I do want to go back to the art of walking, right? And for me, like, I'm just going to share some of the things that I've done to keep myself safer I love music when I walk. And sometimes I don't walk with music, right? But I know for me that when I walk with music, like, I have, like, drowned out my sorrows with music, right? Mm-hmm. To the point where I don't want to hear myself think. But that can be, unfortunately, unsafe sometimes mm-hmm. for me, right? Like, I then don't realize, like, maybe mm-hmm. I could have had, like, a follower, mm-hmm. right? And then all of a sudden, I turn around and somebody's there, right? Mm-hmm. So for me, what I've tried to do is not have my volume up. Just safety reasons, mm-hmm. too. Like, living, you know, unfortunately, like, in Calgary, like, their transit system is more above ground mm-hmm. type of thing. And people have lost their lives because mm-hmm. the music was so loud. Yeah. They didn't hear the train coming and, you know, wow. perish type of thing. So for me, I've learned, okay, I am going to reduce the volume so that I can mm-hmm. be a little bit more aware of my mm-hmm. surroundings type of thing. And I am always aware of bodies on the road when I'm walking mm-hmm. now, right? Like, so the other day I was walking and I was like, okay, there are 7 bodies on the road and I'm the only female. Mm-hmm. You know, like, you know, there's like 3 across the other side of the street. This is a neighborhood, by the way, guys. Like, so mm-hmm. we're not in, like, you know, a really busy area, but I was aware of that, right? Mm-hmm. Like, whereas years ago, I wouldn't even have paid attention.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, I feel like at a certain point, you just sort of feel it in your body.
It's true, too.
And it just becomes an extra sense that you have.
True, too.
Just like an armor from that security.
True. And, you know, I love that you said that because, that feeling, we, you know, many times call it women's intuition, mm-hmm. but that feeling is for real mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. never to discredit it.
Yeah.
You know, like, if you are feeling that, get yourself out of that area mm-hmm. as quickly as you can. And the other thing for me that I've done, which I think is so irritating because sometimes I don't want to be around anybody. Mm-hmm. I really don't. Mm-hmm. But there, sometimes I've realized, like, depending on the time of day, I won't go into Queen's Park when it's dark. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? I just won't do that. Yes, I love being by myself, but, like, I'm not trying to test the waters.
No.
You know what I mean?
No.
So mm-hmm. that's one of the things that I try to do. But how about you? Like, is there any else, you know, not just trusting your gut, but, like, are there any other things that you do to try to, like...
See, I'm still kind of working on it. Mm-hmm. I'm in the process of getting bear spray.
I hear you.
Yeah, mm-hmm. just because I don't want to have to deal with anything at all. And I think it's just going to be an extra bit of security. Mm-hmm. Other than that, I just try not to go places alone.
That's the thing.
Which really sucks.
It's irritating. Yes, that's why. That's
so,
listen.
So irritating.
It's unbelievably mm-hmm. irritated. But at the same time, I'm also aware. Mm-hmm. Right? Mm-hmm. And I mean, I'm safety first. Like, mm-hmm. I do mm-hmm. enjoy living. Mm-hmm. At this point, you know, so I hold space for the irritation. Mm-hmm. I really do. Mm-hmm. But totally understand that sometimes mm-hmm. that's what I have to do. And having these conversations, mm-hmm. like, I, you know, again, I'm so glad that you were able to come and join me because mm-hmm. like it's something as simple as walking.
Yeah.
Guys, like, you'd think it was, like, you know, it's not supposed to be a heavy topic, mm-hmm. but it can sadly mm-hmm. be a heavy topic. And so I'm hoping to, like I said, have more people on board for extending the, you know, conversation around this mm-hmm. to ensure that safety is, you know, really, really, like, on the forefront for, you know, students and mm-hmm. staff and faculty that mm-hmm. you know,
any mountain dwellers.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely. So Dean, I want to thank you so much for sharing and joining and, you know, spending some time with me today.
Yes,
you
thank
know?
You so much. Yeah. It was great being here.
Yay. And I am going to play some music to wind out the show. Next up, we do have Democracy Now. But what I am going to play for you is another track from Sergeant and Comrade. This track is going to be called Lo-Fi Future. So, you know, self-titled of the album, Lo-Fi Future. And then after that, you are going to hear a track called Funk. And it is by Etienne de Crécy. And then if there is some time, you are going to hear a track by Rebecca Hawker, who I'm going to be chatting with real soon, with the track Quit My Habit. So starting off right now with Lo-Fi Future. We'll be right back.
Lo-fi. introspective mind.
What's wrong?